Hello and welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward. I'm Bruce Maples, publisher of Forward Kentucky. When someone runs for office and gets beat pretty thoroughly, you have to ask yourself, why come back and do that again? Why come back and try to run and beat an incumbent a second time? Well, in today's podcast, we're going to talk with Debbie Lucas Angel, who is doing exactly that as she runs against Savannah Maddox. Let's hear why she's doing it. So I'm here today talking with Debbie Lucas Angel, who is running for State House in District 61. Ms. Angel, welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward.
Thanks, Bruce. I'm glad to be here, and thanks for the opportunity to speak with you.
So I'm always fascinated with people who run for office. I have run myself, and as I tell people, it was not a good night for the blue team, but it was also a great experience. And I noticed in looking at your record that you ran as an independent write-in candidate in 2020 against Savannah Maddox, and you got, you know, a few votes, not a huge amount. So what caused you to come back and take a second bite at the apple this year?
Well, when I ran in 2020, I actually had no intention of doing it, but nobody was standing up. And people were like, something's got to give here and all that. And I kept waiting on somebody to step up. And I even told her that, you know, because I would really love to see young people be able to get into it and step up and do it. And I told her this during a forum, the machine that is behind her is what people, you know, what makes people not want to run. And I felt pretty good. I seemed to be a voice for some folks. And I had several people telling me, you know, in the interim, you need to run against her again. Of course, that's not why I did it. Again, nobody else wanted to do it. And it's like, well, I'm not ancient, but I've got some age on me. I tend to be a bit tenacious and stuff. And I truly believe I can win if people will get behind me like they should. I have a message and I can do this job. And that's the problem I have is, it's not being done. We're not being served in this area. And I think our district deserves to have somebody that would be their voice instead of just the voice for a few over here or a few over there.
So I'm intrigued with your comment about machine behind Representative Maddox. Would you expand on that, please?
Basically, my understanding is she is almost a direct line lineage, if you will, from Mitch McConnell. Damon Thayer has been a backer of hers since before she ran the first time. I saw that on her Facebook pages. And right now, Thomas Massie is her go-to guy. You very seldom see her in a larger forum without him there. And so this is big money. This is a high level, you know, RNC. And I mean, we're a small rural district down here. And it's just, we need to have somebody. I mean, she's from Grant County. I think she's like fourth generation, but there's a lot of people out here that are not being served by her. They're half the time they don't tend to be aware because of the hot button emotional issue.
So you say they're not being served. What exactly does that mean in your space out there?
Well, right now, you know, like she's got like five or six bills that she has put forth for this legislation. Four of them have to do with guns. And one of them is lowering the age of you know, being able to legally own a gun from 21 to 18. And it's like, why do we even need that? You know, we've got drugs that are running rampant. I mean, Kentucky lost something like 100,000 people last year to drugs. 90% of the people that are in jail right now are because of drugs. Grant County has a jail here that is full of people that because of the disease of drugs. That's not being addressed at all. The education thing, what you know, the people in this area are rural and they tend to not have a whole lot of money. Public education is good for them, but yet she keeps, and all of the Republicans, frankly, keep wanting to go to charter schools, go to home schools, private schools, which, you know, those funds, you know, like charter schools, we'll never see a charter school in this area. It'll be in, might be in Covington, might be in Florence, but you're not going to see one in Gallatin or Grant County, and you're not going to see them in the rural parts of Boone and Kenton County. So saying, you know, that they want to, you know, do away with the public schools, to me, that's not serving us. And then like the other day, the vote was to take down, let's see, what was it? There was like 26 weeks, I think, was what unemployment insurance was. And the other day they voted it to take it down to like 12 or 14 or something. She voted to take that down. But the people in her area are hardest hit by, you know, COVID and all these things, and they don't have the jobs. They can't afford their rent and stuff. And she wants to take away their, you know, they want to take away her, their unemployment, to where that they might be able to find a job, or at least get them through the point to where they can get kind of on an even board, even keel. And you never hear anything about the fact that landlords and renters and the utilities and all those things that Kentucky has available. She never talks about that kind of stuff being available to people that need it. So that's what I'm talking about being served. That's what I mean.
So you are running this time as a Democrat. Last time, I believe you filed as an independent. Did you have any qualms about attaching your name to the Democratic Party in your area?
Oh, not at all. I've been a Democrat all my life. And the thing that's odd is when you run as a write-in candidate, you do not run as a Republican or Democrat. You run as an independent. So that's why I did not change my registration. I mean, my affiliation at all. It's just that was a paperwork issue. So okay. I was not truly an independent, but I had to in order to, that's the way they record it.
I see. So this time, a little bit more of a time to get ready, people approaching you about, okay, you need to run again. It's one thing for people to come up and say, well, you need to take her on again. It's a whole nother thing for them to reach into their wallet and send you money or volunteer to knock doors or anything like that. So this time around, what kind of support are you getting?
Well, I haven't really hit the ground hard yet. But I get a lot of people, you know, I get the words from people that, yeah, we, you know, we like it. I think right now the onus is on me. I need to show people who I am and what I offer and, you know, to show myself as different. Like last night I was at the Northern Kentucky Labor Council was doing a meet and greet for the candidates. So I was at that. Talking to you today. I'm going to be on Tuesday evening. The Northern Kentucky Women's Democratic Women are going to be having a meet the candidates. That's going to be on Zoom. I'm going to be doing that. That I'm going to get out that way. When I ran in 2020, I was struck a couple of times by people that said, "I really wish you had run earlier, because you know, because they're like, we need something different." And I'm like, I am different, you know, different from what we have right now. But like I said, I need to show people the difference and use facts. But I've got a lot of people that are saying, tell me what I can do. And they may not have money. A lot of people don't have much money. But they're like, I had a lady that was not even, she was on the Kentuckians Against Savannah Maddox. And she's from outside of the area, but she said, I want to send you some money. And it was an older lady. And she sent me a check. And she said, just use this to do what you can. And I think that's going to be happening a lot more.
So you just said something that I'm unaware of. There's actually an organization called Kentuckians Against Savannah Maddox.
It's a Facebook page that they started. Yeah. And it's actually a closed page. So I don't even know if I should talk about it.
No, that's wonderful. I'm glad to know that, because I would probably join. Mm-hmm. So you have people who are volunteering to help. But you said that the onus is really on you right now. Have you done anything other than meet and greets? Have you gone and knocked on doors yet? Or let's back up a minute. Have you been to any candidate training?
Yes. Now I've had a fair amount of candidate training. I went to the Ready to Run back in November that the Democrats in Kentucky put on. I've been to several, running blue and red state, a lot of things that the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, is putting on. I've had several of those. And they've got several classes for fundraising and for canvassing. And for how to get the message out, how to develop a message, how to run a campaign. And then, of course, I've got the document that was put out by the liaison committee, I think it's called. I think you're part of it, that for candidates to teach them how to, it's like a primer for anybody that's wanting to run. So I've got that. The other day I went to one that DNC put on, and it's funny sometimes how much you don't know when you go into this. And I ran 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever, for county judge, and I learned a lot then. And then I ran 2 years ago again, learned a lot then, and it's still amazed at how much I don't know, but a campaign plan. Something as simple as having a campaign plan. Never, I mean, I got things in my head and stuff, but actually setting it down and having, a template, if you will.
So you are retired, if I remember correctly from reading your resume. You're retired from 25 years working at the state. Do you
Yes.
have a day job now?
It depends on what you call a day job. Yes, I do. I'm a farmer.
That's a day job, a night job, and a weekend job. That's yes. So, how big a farm?
We have 25 acres, and mainly what I do is greenhouse work. And have produce, and then I sell at the local farmers market, and also have a bunch of chickens. I love chickens. Unfortunately, when you get your first chicken, you realize you're either addicted or not. That's my addiction. But
Gotcha.
we sell eggs, and then I raise transplants, vegetable transplants in the spring, and getting ready to get started on that. And then mums in the fall, and then sell value added. I do a lot of baking and canning and stuff like that. I won't be doing as much of that this year because I'm going to be on the campaign trail, but it also helps keep me sane. But I do, but there's other things I do. I guess if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and tell you some of the other things because I have
Sure.
people tell me I do a lot. But I teach yoga. I usually do it that back before COVID, I actually had a class I taught with Grand County Martial Arts. But once COVID hit, we stopped that. But I was teaching in Gallatin County at the library until the fall, and I may start that back up. That's another thing that helps keep me sane is Tai Chi and Kung Fu. But I'm on the I'm a member of the 4-H Council in Grant County, the County Extension Board. I'm part of that Fitness for Life around Grant County. I'm interested in people, being healthy, having longer lives, healthier lives, good lives. And that ties right into why I'm running and stuff. But as far as like a straight, like 9 to 5 job, I don't have that.
You're certainly busy enough, I think, as it is. But I was struck by the fact that you have a lot of connections in the community. You're involved in a lot of different groups and boards and so on and so forth. That's got to be helpful to your campaign because these people know you.
And that's something I'm dependent on. Not like taking advantage of them or anything, but I feel like I show through what I do. I don't just say I care for the people here. I do to help the people here. And that's something that's near and dear to my heart is I feel like it's easy to say something. It's not so easy to do it and consistently do it.
Yes.
And I show that to people. And it's like, I just got a phone call a while ago about some folks that were wanting to join the farmers market, the extension office. Anybody that has a question about the farmers market, yeah, they shoot them to me because I'm the president of the market and I've been in it for years. And, I give them the answer. And it always feels nice. And I enjoy having somebody thank me at the end of a conversation for giving them some good information that they can use.
I'm struck by when I looked at the map for the district. It's really long. It covers a lot of ground. I didn't measure it or anything, but it looks to me like it's a pretty good chunk of mileage to go from the bottom to the top. Have you been out traveling around and how is that going to affect the way you campaign?
Now, are you talking about the new maps?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's Grant County is, I think, like the fourth largest county in the state. So, I mean, I'm used to it. When I was working for the state, driving doesn't bother me. The distance and travel doesn't bother me. It's not going to bother me. 80% of my time when I was working in the field was spent on the road, meeting people, talking to people. I'm very used to that. It's not going to be a big deal. It's just, getting to the people. The biggest problem I'm going to have is so many right now, when they realize you have a D behind your name, they don't want to talk to you. And I've literally talked to people, and we've been on the same wavelength, and we'll talk about farming and all these other things and the weather and stuff. And then it'll eventually come out that I'm a Democrat, and then they're kind of like, And it's like, wait a minute, I'm the same person I was 2 seconds ago, before you found that out. So somehow gonna have to get across that divide. All I know to do is just to show by doing. I'm not just words, I do things.
Are there issues that you think you can run on or talk about that put you at an advantage over Savannah Maddox?
If people will listen, yes. But they've got to listen to me and get beyond the emotional hot button issues. My platform, the plank, I've got three planks. It's public education, addressing the drug issue, and proper budgeting. And all of those encompass things that affect everybody in this district and in this state. And if people will listen to me, and get beyond, like I said, those hot button issues, and that would definitely be an advantage, because I know it sounds terrible to say I know things, but with my life experience, my knowledge, my experience, and my education, there are things I know that I know for a fact she doesn't, and there are things I can do that I know for a fact she can't.
So, is there anything that you wanted to talk about that I haven't brought up or asked about?
No, because I got to cover my planks, and what I want to do and the problems and things. And no, I think you've covered everything. I appreciate it.
So, my last question that I always ask candidates is this. So, you're knocking doors. Let's pretend that you're out, that I'm in your district and you're out knocking doors and you knock on my door and I open it up and I look at you and I say, why should I vote for you? What would be your answer?
My answer would be because I have the knowledge, the experience, and the ability to, and the education to do this job. And I'd be more than happy to expound on that to let you know that I'm a public manager. I have experience with people, with government. I know what works and what doesn't work. I know how budgeting does work, how it doesn't work. And, I know how to do this job. And if you'll give me a chance, I will do the job for you. But I want to know what you want as well.
Excellent. So Debbie Lucas Angel, who is running for State House against, probably against Savannah Maddox, and who concluded one email to me with, I'm running because I'm tired of all the falderal, which I absolutely loved. So thank you so much for your time and good luck with your campaign.
I appreciate it, Bruce. Thank you. You have a great day.
That was Debbie Lucas Angel, who's running for State House in District 61, probably against Savannah Maddox. I want to thank her for her time in doing the interview and wish her all the best and all the luck in her race for that seat. As you may know, this is a regular podcast and we're picking up the tempo some, interviewing more than one person most weeks. You should follow us on the podcast app of your choice. Or go to the website and follow us and listen to it from there. You can also go to the top of the website, and there is a How to Follow Us page, and it has all of the details for you to add our podcast to your regular listening. Thanks for listening, and see you in the next podcast.